This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Some of the more than 30 million Americans under alerts about potential violent storms this morning got hit by tornadoes overnight, and some are picking up from weekend storms. ABC's Lionel Moise.
Widespread damage in northern St. Louis and public outrage with sirens not going off in many areas.
There was a failure, a human failure, a failure in protocol to get the sirens up and running.
The mayor saying the fire department will now take the lead in sending those alerts.
Fourth New Orleans jail escapee has been captured out of the 10 who busted out last Thursday night. Some are charged with murder. The local district attorney says some of his staffers have left town fearing for their lives. President Trump's due on Capitol Hill this morning to push Republicans to pass a multi-trillion-dollar budget package. There are cuts to Medicaid, food stamps, and green energy programs. Stocks on Asian and European markets gained after China cut key interest rates. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thede. Tonight is the final night to audition for the community players of Southwest Wisconsin's summer musical production of Little Shop of Horrors, which will take the stage July 25th, 26th, 27th, and August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Cameron Cormican will be the director of the musical.
I have adored this show ever since I watched it. I'm going to age myself because this movie came out in 86 and I saw it in the theater in its original run back when I was 10 years old. And ever since then, I've been in love with this show. And that's kind of been always one of my bucket list things, to be a part of a theater production of this show in some way at some point.
Auditions will be held tonight at 6:30 at the Richland Center City Auditorium. Roles to audition for include Seymour, the nerdy flower shop assistant, his co-worker and love interest, Audrey, and the voice of Audrey 2, the plant, to name a few. Auditioners should prepare a song in the style of the late 50s or early 60s rock and roll or R&B song. Auditioners will also be asked to read parts from the script. Behind-the-scenes people are needed as well, especially anyone who can help build a set, help build or find props, or serve as stage crew or house staff. For questions or more information, please email communityplayerssww@gmail.com or call the show's director, Cameron Cormican, at 608-844-1245. More information can be found on the Community Players of Southwest Wisconsin Facebook page.
The Brewers with another win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, for the first time in 2 weeks, the Brewers with back-to-back wins. They beat the Orioles last night 5-4. William Contreras said he thought he just had an okay game, going 4-for-4, including the winning RBI. Pat Murphy.
William has very high expectations. No, he wasn't just good. He was great.
Game two of the series tonight. NFL, the Packers signed Matthew Golden to a four-year, $17.5 million contract guaranteed. Golden says he can now afford to buy back his grandmother's house in Texas, foreclosed a few years ago.
That's the house I grew up in when I was younger. You know, it got taken away from us a couple of years ago. You know, just knowing that I'm in a position to be able to get that back for all my family. You know, that's something my grandma always wanted. Before my great-grandma died, you know, she always wanted one of her grandsons and make it to the NFL. You know, I'm the last one standing in, and I made it.
That's Packers rookie receiver Matthew Golden with sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be windy and cold today with heavy rain likely. In fact, we could get an inch to an inch and a half or more of rain by the time everything winds down later tomorrow. Our high today in the upper 40s to low 50s, the wind out of the east gusting to between 30 and 40 here today. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 46. Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave?
That prevents child abuse.
And high-quality, affordable child care?
Prevents child abuse, too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to PreventChildAbuse.org to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Hello, Bluey.
Talking with our pal Stuart J. Waddles. This is an episode of Bluey that Stuart turned me on to. I like this show so much. Would it be weird if I left my wife, remarried, and had kids with someone else just so I could watch Bluey with my new set of kids?
I don't think it'd be that weird. I've heard a weirder.
You have?
Make a great story.
You get the exclusive.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, two swell Appleton gentlemen join me in the studio. First, comedian Rob Brackenridge, then owner of Appleton Cigar, our pal Norm Kopeski, is here to talk about Smoke on the Fox.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Tuesday morning, May 20th. Nice to be back after a nice stretch off for a little European vacation that we'll continue talking about throughout the course of the morning. Greg Bach joins us from Radio Park. Dan Hagen from WJFW Newswatch 12 and Rhinelander is with us, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot as well. Brittany, what's the old adage? Red sky at morning, sailors take warning. Red sky at night, sailors delight. Yep. I had to go out and take a picture this morning of a sunrise that was probably as red as it gets. Ooh. Which I take to affirm the forecast that it's not going to be the world's most pleasant day out across Wisconsin today.
No, it's definitely not. It's going to be dark, damp, dreary, windy, wet, soaking wet in some places, in fact. Temperatures right now are still crisp and cool. Lake Superior, if you're up there, 39 degrees, and then it's about 48 degrees by the shores of Lake Michigan. Winds are already cranking out of the east at about 20 to 30 mile per hour gusts. We're going to see them frequently hitting about 40 miles per hour as we go through this afternoon. And we've got this big low pressure system that is sliding down to the south. It's just scraping southern parts of the state, but it's big enough to really bring in those strong winds. We are looking at cloudy skies, heavy rainfall moving in. Right now, it's already into our western areas, starting to move throughout the rest of the state throughout the day. It's going to lift north. We are going to see that far up north. I know we're seeing some sunshine into northeastern parts right now, but we are going to cloud up and we're all going to see that rainfall. In fact, some storms are expected down far south later on this afternoon. And in total rainfall just today, we could see a good 1 to 2 inches. From pretty much a line across to Sheboygan and south. So some flooding potential there as those rivers start to rise, but that area does need the rain. The drought, about 5% of the state is in a drought, and it's right along that state line. So this is hitting the right spot at the right time. Otherwise, today, you're going to probably need a sweatshirt or something like a jacket, because with those winds, highs are only going to reach the mid-40s down south to the mid-50s far north.
It's a big system. I mean, it stretches from like Atlanta to Saskatchewan when I first called up the radar this morning. This is not one of those things, oh, poor us, little black rain cloud. Like, nope, everybody's getting a little something today.
Yeah, we are.
And that east wind, I was telling Greg an hour ago, you know, we've got one of these places with, you know, the oversized American flag. And to see a flag that large, you know, just stiff in the wind from out of the east is pretty rare.
Yes, yes, it is. It absolutely is. And that's pretty cool to see. Oh, get a video of that for me, please.
Okay. Well, I'd have to want to venture out in this. You'll notice I'm in a short sleeve shirt. You know, there's that saying about, you know, dress for the job you want, not the job you've got. And what you shouldn't do, you should not apply it to dress for the weather you want, not the weather you've got, because I just got done with 10 days in Europe. There was like, it was picture postcard weather. Every day was in the upper 70s and sunny. It looked like, you know, one of those under the Tuscan sun things that you'd see in Italy or southern Portugal or Spain. And I'm not dressed for this. You were actually
welcome
my first
back.
You were my first tip off, first email that I saw, you know, with the forecast for this morning. Because I did not look at the headlines or the forecast or anything. I just landed and like, oh, it looks kind of icky out here. I hope it's just passing through. It's not just passing through.
Then we were thinking about you coming back today and we're like, well, we'll see if he makes it, depending on all those crazy winds that are coming with the system. But I'm glad you're back and I'm sorry that the weather is a little bit crummy, but it'll get better for this weekend, Memorial Day weekend. Woo! That's
just it. We've got a holiday weekend coming up. Other folks will be traveling. And look, if you're on a regular, like a 747 or, you know, one of the DC planes or whatever, we've all hit turbulence from time to time while flying.
Yeah.
When you're in one of those big old 787s going across the ocean and you hit something and you know from the little map you're somewhere over the ocean, like off the tip of Greenland or something, and you hit turbulence on something that size. I mean, I know planes go through this every single day. It gets your attention. Where you're going, okay, everybody went righty tighty, right, on all the bolts and everything that's in here. This is all nice and sturdy, right? And it was.
Seatbelts on, click.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, without a doubt there. Brittany, thank you so much. We'll talk to you in the next hour as well.
Sounds good.
Dan, you were mentioning as well to, as we were getting set to talk to Brittany a bit about severe weather, and there's fundraisers going on, because we did have quite a spate of bad weather right before I left as well. And I know that that's just part of life in Wisconsin, but it's always sad to see.
Yeah, that's right. Was it last Wednesday night or Thursday that a tornado went through Rib Falls, Wisconsin? Rib Falls is north of Marathon City. If you don't know where that is, that's okay. It's in Marathon County. And it really didn't touch down for long, but it just destroyed this couple's farm and house. So they're trying to do a GoFundMe and just raise enough money to buy a trailer home so they can live on their land while kind of insurance takes care of the process, which is a long and arduous process.
Yeah, it is. More so than it should be in Europe, but I'm going to get on that rant again a little bit later. Okay. First, I wanted to share from Rob in Tigerton. Welcome back, Pat. Hope you had an excellent time. In Tigerton, it's cloudy and 45. With those easterly winds, it's chilly, and wearing a jacket mowing lawns after a week of getting a suntan 1 week ago. He said, I did my Wittenberg mowing jobs yesterday to beat the rain today. We're going to be talking to Chad Holmes in a bit about, in our next hour, about colonoscopies. And Rob says on his that he had right before my break, they found a few polyps, but not cancerous. And so I'm very glad that I got this done. He says, I love the Go-Go's from 1980s. We talked about Jane Whelan's birthday. My favorite song is Vacation. Greg, if I was closer to you, I would mow your lawn with my John Deere.
I bet you it would take you 4 minutes.
And Rob finishes his comments on YouTube by saying, I have to ask Dan if they did the story of a car hitting a moose along Highway 45 near Land O'Lakes. Well, let me tell you something. I wanted to know what Dan had been working on, so I pulled up the WJFW Newswatch 12 site. And, of course, the first headline that grabbed my eye, driver hits moose early Monday on Highway 45 near Land O'Lakes. Moose had to be euthanized from injuries. Not what you typically expect.
No, definitely a vibe killer. The car hit like the back legs of the moose, unfortunately. So the DNR and the Vilas County Sheriff's Office arrived there and they just had to euthanize it, which is pretty sad. We only see, you know, a couple moose every year in our area.
Yeah, I mean, look, I recall when they reintroduced elk in the Clam Lake area and what a big deal that was. And one of the things when you've got an 8-hour flight, like I did yesterday, you're looking at the movies and the shows and everything. And I picked up on this documentary about a grizzly bear tracking through the U.S. and Canada from Yellowstone all the way up to Alaska. And you learn in all of these areas, whether you're talking bears, moose, elk, whatever, it's not that look, we're not saying, man should not be settling in any of these places, but it's a matter of trying to have some kind of a coexistence. And that includes being careful on the roads because, you know, it's not just bad for the above mentioned moose, but bad for you as well. There are people that, you know, there are traffic fatalities and injuries, not to mention the body shops. I mean, I've hit two or three deer over the years, Dan. I don't know if you've ever struck one or not.
Yeah, I've hit probably four or five. I spent a summer in Montana, and that did it for me. But yeah, a lot of bald eagles are hit. You know, they're eating carcasses on the side of the road that probably were hit by cars, and then people just zoom right past these eagles, and they get erratic, and yeah, not good.
No, I forgot all about that. The bald eagles eating the roadkill and things like that. Where, again, we're just looking for a little coexistence, a little bit more care. Before I leave a previous subject, Alicia chimes in on YouTube. Crossing the Atlantic in an aircraft carrier makes you notice the waves as well. Yeah, no thanks, Alicia. There's just no, I mean, I love going on cruise ships. They go from one tranquil Caribbean island to another tranquil, across mostly tranquil seas. But taking a boat across the North Atlantic, Greg, that's a Titanic kind of mission that I would not sign up for. Maybe you are braver than me.
I wouldn't even do cruises. Those things are horrifying. They're not. Those are horrifying vessels in the
really?
Middle in the middle of an unforgiving and vengeful ocean. Okay, no, thank you. Hard pass.
I would
do a Viking river cruise where I could see both sides of the coast or both sides of the land. I mean, like, the boat's going down. I will simply swim a quarter of a mile to shore. Yay.
Dan, cruises?
I have never been on a cruise. I don't care to go on a cruise. And Greg and I, we're actually doing a Viking River cruise next week.
We are,
so looking forward to that. Yeah.
Oh, see, now I knew I'd missed out the arrangements on something there. Well, by all means, enjoy. So, Dan, we've covered the moose. We've covered the Hodag Dome is reinflated. And what other stories have you been following up there for Newswatch 12?
Well, over the weekend, some Rhinelander paper mill workers noticed a goose was trapped in some lures, and actually a lure and some fishing line. So they were able to capture the goose and drive it to Wild Instincts, a local animal rehabilitator. And they were able to remove the lure, which was in its bill and its foot, and then take out some fishing line, give it some antibiotics, give it some painkillers, and eventually release it back. So a lot of animal rehab going on that's been successful.
No, that's great. Tony on YouTube, did the goose lay the golden egg? No, Tony, it doesn't work that way. It had to pay the medical bills.
No, it's funny. I was spending some time with a friend of mine, and there was a goose, a mother goose, just probably 8 feet away, like the whole time. I don't know if I should have been that close, but it just stayed right on its eggs, didn't make a sound.
Oh, that's okay. You don't. I was going to make some joke about being goosed. No, I'm just going to move right on from there. Memorial Day weekend coming up. Do you have plans for the long weekend?
Yes, I'll be spending some time with my family up in Arborvitae, Wisconsin, which is near Minocqua. And, you know, I'll be thinking of, it kind of makes me emotional Memorial Day because, you know, I have some family members, my grandma's brother, who, you know, went to war, never came back, never was able to have a family. So be thinking of him and swapping stories.
That is the most appropriate thing to do and to say and to be thinking about during that time. So, no, it's absolutely not at all lost, should not be lost on any of us, the actual meaning of the weekend and the importance of it. And then having said that, once we have, you know, paid that appropriate level of honor to be able to enjoy a long weekend like that was made, again, it was provided by the sacrifice of others who came before us. So when you do that, or when you take that long weekend with family, is it recreational or is it more relaxing?
Yeah, I mean, it's, well, depending on which of my siblings are there, you know, it could be either, no, I'm kidding. No, life is good. We get outside, we're at a motorboat family, so we get on canoes and kayaks, maybe go fishing, maybe go biking. Just while it's on my mind, Gerhard Steinbach was the brother of my grandmother. He served in World War II. He died on the Bataan Death March.
Oh.
So... Always thinking of him once a year, at least.
Absolutely. Attention must be paid, and I'm glad that you've brought it up. Dan, you can catch him over at WJFW TV Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander and also here on Tuesday mornings. We always appreciate it. Thanks for sticking around, help us in getting back into the swing of things after a little bit of time off.
Welcome back. I don't see much color on you, Pat. You know, did you use too much sunscreen?
I was in a lot of tour buses and sitting in those cafes.
You just covered in a blanket the entire time.
Something like that. All right, Dan, we'll see you next week. Have a great holiday weekend. All right. Sounds good. Still ahead on the show this morning, Dan Schaefer, as well as Chad Holmes from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Attention Badger fans, memories are made at Camp Randall, so bring your group and be part of the action this fall. Whether you're planning your team outing or just looking to get together with your crew, Badger football group experiences are your ticket to unforgettable moments and new traditions. Take advantage of discounts and exclusive game day experiences when you lock in your group tickets today. Visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Howard Schwaber.
The point is worth making that an individual government official with the power to unilaterally declare that people can be seized without any opportunity of a hearing of any kind is getting really close to the model of rule that the American constitutional system is entirely designed to resist.
Entirely designed to resist. Antithetical to our foundational principles.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Hendricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
It's our monthly visit with Representative Tony Kurtz, representing the 41st Assembly District. And today, Senator Howard Markline sits in as well with us. Good to see you gentlemen once again today. Hi, Howard.
Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Phil. Tony, we just saw you at the Race for Grace on Saturday as well, didn't we?
Yeah, it was very nice. Man, the weather was, it was a nice and cool morning. It was perfect for a run and a walk. And it was pretty neat to see all the firefighters and the police and sheriff's department from Richland County out there doing the walk and the run. That was pretty cool.
They were hoofing it.
They did a great job.
Doing a really good job. Yeah. Howard, I presume you've been busy at community events lately as well.
Yeah, and so on
Saturday, I was at the Morrell Fest parade, and then, of course, had a good steak dinner at the firehouse after that. And so, and I ran into a number of people from Casanova, Lone Rock, etc., that were involved with the walk in Saturday morning. So it's good to connect with them. So, and decent turnout, I think, for Saturday for the parade in Muscadet. And I don't know if people, some people remembered the weather a year ago was like in the 90s for that parade. And of course, on Saturday, I was pretty comfortable, like 65 degrees. It was, I thought, if you're walking in the parade and stuff, it's pretty comfortable. But I remember a year ago eating steaks too at the firehouse, and it was hot in there, you know, with the just the heat and all the people in the fire station.
It's been a different spring, that's for sure.
It sure has. Yeah, it's dry. Gosh, we didn't get anything last Thursday. Six drops maybe is about what we got. In some places, didn't get anything on Thursday. So, yeah, we could use this rain coming up here.
We could. How's it looking in your area? Been planting some corn, Tony?
Well, no, a lot of planting is done. But to Howard's point, we need some moisture. I mean, everything is pretty dry and pretty dusty, and a nice drink would be well welcomed right now. So it looks like we might get about. It looks like it's gonna be a good rain from what the forecast looks like. So we'll take it.
That's what we've heard. You guys have been busy. The budget, I guess, is the top story right now, Howard. Can you tell us a little bit, fill us in on what's been going on?
Yeah, so a couple weeks ago, 10 days ago, something like that, completed all of our public hearings around the state. We did four of them, and we try to do with these public hearings kind of get to different geographic areas of the state. So we were in up in the Green Bay area, in Milwaukee, Hayward, and then in Wausau were the four big public hearings. So, and you know, they're pretty long days, obviously, and but to hear a lot of input from people. And so, and then on May 8th, the Joint Finance Committee began the first action. And one of the first things we did was we pulled out all of the policy out of the budget. Okay, this is stuff that marijuana legalization and just all these kinds of things that are policy that should be, I believe, in a separate bill. It shouldn't be tucked into a 1,917-page document that. That they were sitting on our desk from the governor. So so we pulled that out, and a lot of those things, and there's some things in there that I like, you know, like the milk labeling, you know, milk should come from a cow. That's something that I support. Well, we didn't cherry pick. We pulled out the stuff that I supported as well. So, and then we also adopted the what are called standard budget adjustments. These are the normal increases, the re-estimates, debt service, for example. We have no, it's not discretionary as whether or not you're going to pay your debt, you know, your bond payments and all that. So we fine-tuned all that. So, and then there were a number of agencies that basically, after the standard budget adjustments were made, that there were we were able to close those out. So. So now we got our fiscal updated fiscal bureau estimates last Thursday, and so now that we know kind of where we're at financially, you know, we can probably get to work here over the next probably 4 or 5 weeks and get going on the budget. Really, I mean, in terms of the real substantive areas, and get going.
So there are some things you agree with in it, though, right? In the budget, in terms of some things that you'd like to see?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, I mean, hopeful, you know, our goal, at least my goal, is that we can pass a budget that, you know, we support and that the governor will sign. I mean, that's the goal, I think. And also, time frame wise, I hope we get this thing done before the end of June, you know, which is when the fiscal year ends. And however, you know, and if it doesn't happen, we're not like the federal government. So if it's not done till July 2nd, nothing shuts down. You know, the With the state of Wisconsin, your budget continues on at base level until the next budget is passed. So it isn't like people in the at the prison in basketball aren't going to get paid or whatever. You know, our school districts aren't going to get state aids. I mean, all this stuff continues at base level until the next budget is passed. So, having said that, I would sure love to get this thing done though, well before the end of the fiscal year.
Tony.
No, like Howard said, we did our four listening sessions around the state. We also individually, we did listening sessions in our own area. And so we've heard a lot of good feedback. And you know, as far as the assembly, we're doing our spring surveys right now. So we're going to get that back as well. Matter of fact, I've already got a bunch of those already in the office. And I appreciate folks filling those out. So those are all the different information we will use as we craft the budget.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henricks.
News from the Center, WRCE. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin farmers are planting a crop today, but not necessarily certain where it will end up. I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. If it's being used for feed, that's one thing, but if it's bound for the marketplace, well, you just don't know where it might end up. Dr. Seth Meyer is USDA's chief economist, and he says, well, there's a lot of anxiety in the marketplace about potential tariffs and world agreements. He says, really, there still is a lot of world opportunity for U.S. grain.
So India's a tough nut to crack, but there are opportunities there. And so when you look at what are opportunities, some of those opportunities are tough, though. The Indian market's pretty tough, but clearly they need feed and both grains and oilseed meals for their poultry industry within the country. So there's opportunities there.
Dr. Seth Meyer, chief economist at the U.S. Department of Agriculture, pointing to India as a challenging market, but one that could hold great promise for U.S. grains. Markets in overnight electronic trade on a Tuesday morning, a little bit mixed. We'll get to numbers in the latest planting progress report next.
With Clarifly Larvicide, you get more than just a fly control product. You get more support, more expertise, and more control to prevent the emergence of nuisance flies from the manure of treated cattle by as much as 96%. It is perfectly blended in your mineral supplement to become a part of what you are already doing, feeding your cattle. Get control of flies with a comprehensive program built around Clarifly Larvicide and Sarbar products. To learn more about Clarifly Larvicide, contact your local feed dealer or visit centralflycontrol.com.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Yesterday, the barrel cheese dropped 2.5 cents to 185.5. 40-pound block cheese down 3.25, 189.75. Well, AA butter was unchanged. This morning, the June Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 4 at 19.06. Well, July corn's down a penny. December new crop down 0.5, 4.41. July beans down a penny. November new crop unchanged, 10.37. July wheat right now up 6 at 5.35 a bushel. The Wisconsin farmer continued planting despite the weather. 73% of our corn in the ground as of Sunday. 66% of our soybeans are planted. 84% of our potatoes already in the ground. And 5% of the first cutting of our 2025 alfalfa crop already harvested. Just a quick snapshot on the markets this morning. I am Pam Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be windy and cold today with heavy rain likely. In fact, we could get an inch to an inch and a half or more of rain by the time everything winds down later tomorrow. Our high today in the upper 40s to low 50s. The wind out of the east gusting to between 30 and 40 here today. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Right now it's 45. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
I'm as guilty as anybody about this, not talking to real people in person. I'm sorry, I don't believe that texting or video conferencing or any other of that jazz can supplement one-on-one interaction. We as humans need other humans. We need to connect with people. So anyway, that's the public service announcement to start off the week. Get outside and talk to real live humans. You'll feel better.
Catch The Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as Kira Sabin, our positivity psychologist coach, will be here in her second of a three-part series on building community. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome back. It is 7:35. I'm Pat Kreitler here on the Civic Media Radio Network, live from Lake Wissota on this Tuesday morning, May 20th. Nice to be back. It was a wonderful vacation, 10 days away in Portugal for a friend's wedding and some sightseeing. And we have talked about it at length, which is Pat's way of saying, I didn't look at the news very much, and the stuff I looked at, I didn't really want to dwell on today. We'll have plenty of time for that. In fact, Dan Schaefer is here 1 hour from right now, and then we'll really get back into the spirit of political headlines, Wisconsin, nationally, and frankly, internationally, because of some of the election results that happened while I was in Europe over the past couple of days. So we'll talk to Dan Schaefer about that. About the flight, though, on Facebook, Ardith writes, Pat, I hope you wore a mask on that flight. What's wrong with some people? And I was talking about somebody earlier who had a persistent wet cough for the entire eight-hour flight. And I kept shooting nasty looks over there because no mask and was just coughing into his hand the whole time. And I thought, how many surfaces is this guy touching? But, of course, telling my mom about it, the first thing I get back from her is, well, did you wear a mask? I'm like, no, I didn't. So lesson learned for that next very long flight here. But I appreciate the concern. Again, nice to be back. Good to be catching up with folks like Greg Bach in Radio Park and Hans Breitenmoser, who joins us from up in Lincoln County. One very busy farmer this time of year. How is Hans doing today?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm fine. I just refilled the corn planter again. So the guy that plants my corn can try and get a few more acres pounded in before it starts raining.
The corn planter man, as you described him earlier.
The corn planter man.
To which, by the way, if anybody's like looking askance, like, well, wait a minute, he's the farmer. It's a different world out there, folks. And, you know, thanks to the cost of the equipment and the scale at which you can get some of this work done, whether it's the planting or the combining or anything else along the way, there's a lot more of this where the work is divided among many farms that way. And when it's you better be ready when it's your turn.
Right. So we hire a guy from Marathon City who plants our corn. He has a 12-row John Deere planter, and he's all set up to plant corn. And so we just contract that out to him. But my job is then to make sure that my guys get tillage done in advance of the corn planter, and also keep tendering him seed and fertilizer and you know, making sure that he knows where to go and that he's got all the things he needs to keep him going and keep things moving in the shop. So every time somebody rolls up with a busted piece of equipment, I can cobble it together as I do and get it going again.
That's because ultimately it is all up to you. I mean, everybody else is just a part of it, but you know, it's your name on the bottom line.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I'm the one that's paying the bills. And right. So I tend to be the ringleader this time of the year and don't actually do a lot of tractor driving myself because I spend most of my time keeping all the other equipment moving, which is fine. I enjoy it very much. But yeah, it's super busy. This is the month of May is not long enough to get everything done that we try to get done. This time of the year, we put cattle out to pastures, which means there's fences to be repaired and animals to move around. Every time I look at a hay field, it's gotten a little bit taller. So we need to be thinking about making hay in a couple weeks as well. So very busy.
We were before my break 2 weeks ago talking about getting all the tillage done, and the new stats are in right now from the USDA on Wisconsin progress, and spring tillage is 86% complete. But it's funny that you mentioned the first cutting of alfalfa hay. That's already at 5%. Complete.
Is that right? Man, I'm behind again.
I know. 5% done. Let's see. On the corn planting, it is 73% complete, 5 days ahead of last year and 3 days ahead of the 5-year average. Corn emergence was 23% complete. And by the way, part of the reason for all of this is, the weather. Again, when I left, it was get the field work done. It's the weather's gorgeous. But, farmers had just over 5 days of suitable field work. And now, of course, you've got all this rain that's moving through the area. So, you're always at the tender mercies of Mother Nature on these things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's really just a matter of kind of budgeting our time and keeping an eye on that forecast and trying to figure out what things can be put off for the rain days and how many acres we can get done prior to the rain. And that's basically what our lives have been here so far for the month of May. We did get a lot of work done last week with the dry conditions. So we're at about 60% corn planted. I'd have all my beans planted except for we did a little miscalculation and ran out of seeds. So I gotta pound a couple more acres of beans in, and our new seedings are pretty much in. So
okay, yep. Soybeans are 66% planted, 5 days ahead of last year's average. And let's see, the oat planting is 82% complete. The topsoil moisture thing is interesting. You've got 4% that are at very short and 17% short. And yet you also have 70% adequate and nearly 10% surplus. So you definitely have a range here depending on where the rain has fallen. There were drought concerns, and now lately there's a little bit of surplus concern depending on who's getting the heavier rain.
Yeah, well, and I feel like it's such a moving target because, as I said earlier, my corn planter, man, is only like 25 miles away from me. And they got rain when we didn't. We got way more rain than they did the last time. And on Friday night when it stormed here, I don't know how many inches of rain we got, but it rained really hard for a very short period of time, which did create a bunch of washouts and so forth. So that's the thing that I think we're dealing with more than we used to. I know we're dealing with more than we used to, and we will deal more with in the future, which is heavy, heavy, super, strong storms and big rains that really wash things out. And it makes our jobs a little more difficult because we have to be selective about how we do tillage, when we do tillage, and trying to figure out how we can incorporate cover crops and no-till to the best of our abilities. So that we don't get these washouts, because man, I was looking at some fields yesterday that had just been planted, and boy, they got tore up pretty bad by the strong rains that we got Friday night. So that's a real challenge.
Yeah. And all that work is keeping folks from maybe paying attention to other things like politics, tuning things out where applicable. But that would then mean missing out on some of the action, like, for example, the House Agriculture Committee on Wednesday night last week moved out a piece of its budget package on a party line vote. And so, again, you had people like Congressman Derek Van Orden, who are on the House Agriculture Committee, saying, well, I'm going to fight against these things like big cuts to SNAP or Medicaid or the VA. And in the case of the agricultural provisions, you had Derek Van Orden voting right along with all the other Republicans. Now, for the farmers, and this is from a story at aginfo.net, it says, farmers would see better reference prices, a broader band of protection levels under commodity and insurance programs, and see the payment limit for farm programs increased. However, the bill would also shift food assistance spending to the states to make up for coming federal cuts to those programs like SNAP and others. And so, Hans, I look at that, and my first thought is that some folks in the farm community are going to say, well, I guess as long as my payments or my prices are okay, they're going to do what they're going to do. But, you know, big cuts in SNAP, that's not going to be good for farmers, not to mention all the families that rely upon it.
Yeah, well, and you got to remember that it, you know, as more and more poor public policy comes out of Washington, you're going to have more rural areas struggling. And some of the people who are the beneficiaries of SNAP and so forth do live in rural areas. So this affects our friends and neighbors. And, you know, historically, the Farm Bill was this marriage between urban and rural, you know, consumer and producer. And that's how the legislation got done. And you know, I'm not suggesting that it wasn't cumbersome and tedious and messy sometimes, but it got done. And now we've got politicians that can't manage to even, you know, produce anything for a couple of years past time when it's supposed to be produced. So, again, I just keep coming back to, you know, that Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it. And, again, far from a done deal, because you had in the House version, you're looking at some $290 billion in SNAP cuts. But over on the Senate side, Republicans there, their initial plan cuts only $1 billion from the SNAP program. Now, again, a billion is still, you know, a big number, but a billion in cuts versus $290 billion in cuts, there's still a lot of room there for disagreement. So all of this is far from a done deal. But I bring it up, people say, well, then why are we talking about this? The notion that we have people in Congress right now that think that we're not going to notice cutting $290 billion from food assistance, and that that's not money going into any American's pocket unless you're a billionaire. This isn't like some kind of savings. This is all to pay for tax cuts for the very rich, unless, Hans, and we've seen this before, if you can give just enough of a temporary tax cut to farmers and others in the middle class to make them feel like, oh, I guess I'm a winner out of this, when it's not. It's all about paying for tax cuts for billionaires.
Exactly. And that's the problem. And, you know, we've had this conversation before. I think a lot of farmers and small business owners sort of put themselves in the same bucket as the billionaires that are getting these tax cuts and so forth. And we're just not. I mean, we're just not. We have way more in common with the people who we employ and our neighbors in our own community than we do with the billionaires who are actually benefiting from this. And, you know, you talk about $290 billion. I mean, some of these numbers are so far beyond a normal person's ability to comprehend. But isn't it interesting that that number is, you know, in the same neighborhood as the net worth of the richest man in the world, who also has influence on our politics these days? I mean, if that doesn't scream this system is broken and needs to have some change and have different people in these offices to call this BS out, then I don't know what does.
Here's the thing. The ranking member on the committee is Angie Craig from Minnesota. And she notes that set aside the $290 billion and everything about, oh, we've got to make all these cuts because people are milking the system. The average SNAP benefit is $6 a day. Mm-hmm. And for $6 a day, you're talking about rolling back the largest anti-hunger program in national history. Something that has worked. But to, again, say, well, some people are cheating on it. Again, we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater to say that a few people that are cheating on the program means you throw out this thing that has done more to alleviate hunger in this country while also helping the producers of food, the farmers, than anything else out there. Angie Craig said, you don't build a life on SNAP. You build a bridge to the next paycheck, the next opportunity, the next moment of stability. That's what this is supposed to be about. And that spirit of that has completely been lost in Washington these days, Hans.
Absolutely. And what's troubling to me is that, you know, when the right comes out with this nonsense about all this waste and fraud, then the mainstream media picks up on it and everybody picks up on it as if it's the truth. And so and it's once again, it's the big lie. Let's create a problem that doesn't exist and then go after and attack it. And it's just nonsense when all it comes down to is providing another tax break to people who just don't need them. And it's going to have an impact on rural economies. When you change programs like that, it is going to have an impact, especially in light of the fact that some of the people who are, you know, losing their jobs over with these USDA cuts and so forth, they're going to be the newly poor that are going to be relying on some of these benefits. So I just don't understand what problem are we trying to solve here? Because waste and fraud, while there might be some, it's very, very small compared to what they're saying.
It's a great mystery. Coming up on 8 o'clock hour, Chad Holmes and Dan Schaefer here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Attention Badger fans, memories are made at Camp Randall, so bring your group and be part of the action this fall. Whether you're planning your team outing or just looking to get together with your crew, Badger football group experiences are your ticket to unforgettable moments and new traditions. Take advantage of discounts and exclusive game day experiences when you lock in your group tickets today. Visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Mental health is health care. Self-care isn't selfish, and asking for help is a brave and powerful step. Mental health affects every one of us, regardless of age, race, or background. And yet stigma holds many people back from getting the support needed.
I grew up being called a worry wart, which I've now learned is anxiety.
Kira Sabin gets it. The Madison-based positive psychology coach says many times you just have to let it go.
A lot of the times the energy that we spend trying to control our environments is wasted because we're trying to control things we can't. We can't control the way other people react to us. And trying to just drives us crazy.
This Mental Health Awareness Month, let's break the silence, build understanding, and create a world where mental wellness is a priority for everyone. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Hello, Bluey.
Talking with our pal Stuart J. Waddles. This is an episode of Bluey that Stuart turned me on to. I like this show so much. Would it be weird if I left my wife, remarried, and had kids with someone else just so I could watch Bluey with my new set of kids?
I don't think it'd be that weird. I've heard a weirder.
You have?
Make a great story.
You get the exclusive.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Henricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
Representative Tony Kurtz, Senator Howard Markline on our morning show today in the studios. We wanted to talk a lot about some things coming up here. And I know one of the things we wanted to talk about, Howard, was a resolution for David Martin.
So we were on the Senate was on the floor last week. And one of the things that we did was pass a resolution recognizing David Martin, who passed away recently. And David Martin was a state representative up in the Nina, Menasha area years ago. I want to say maybe in the 60s for quite a period of time. Was had a pretty distinguished career in the state assembly, but then we retired to Muscadet, and where he became quite active in the communities on the Lower Wisconsin State Riverway Board, Three Eagles Foundation, Muscadet Chamber, Southwest Tech Board. So anyway, so very active in the community, and I saw him at a lot of different community meetings and events that I went to. So anyway, we're happy to have recognized David Martin, not only for his service in the state assembly many years ago, but also for his service in the Muscadet area.
I know, too. Tony, you wanted to talk about rural EMS. That's always a topic in your area.
It's National EMS Week.
Yeah.
So that's a very appropriate thing. But no, this, as you know, EMS is so critical for our area, and it's been under a lot of strain lately, and it's been not only in it, and it's something I give Senator Mark Lyon a lot of credit. He's been working on this for years, and, you know, when I was fortunate to get elected, I know we've both been working on it together. But, yes, we introduced three additional EMS bills. You know, when Howard and I testified about a month ago on these bills, one of the things I said is, I already talked about the shared revenue bill, but part of the shared revenue bill was a thing called funding assistance program. That funding assistance program went from $2.2 million up to $25 million. And that kind of helped a lot of EMS providers, including all the ones in our area like CAS and Richland Center. But these bills will continue to do that. Right now, one of the bills is when an EMS provider goes out to a scene and they may treat somebody, or they may go to your home and treat you on scene, but they don't transport you, a lot of time they actually can't get reimbursed for that. And so we have one piece of legislation that will allow them to get reimbursed for that at a little higher rate. And that will help a lot of providers. One of the other ones is through the technical colleges. Like right now, let's say Southwest Tech has a EMS class. They put on some courses, and they don't fill the class. Unfortunately, a lot of times, they'll cancel the course. Well, you know, that hurts five or six people that were going to take the class. That's going to help our rural areas. Right now, there's the other bill would actually pay for those other slots and actually open them up to other parts of the state. And so if they don't fill a class, we're going to make sure they still hold that class. That was something several years ago, you may remember Senator Mark Lyon and I, along with Travis Tranel and Todd Novak, did a series of EMS listening sessions around the entire district. And that's one of the things that came out about how some of the courses were canceled because the classes weren't filled. And then the other bill would allow, instead of having EMS on like a countywide, you would have more of a regional. So you could go across county lines, and that will also help with the levy limits and everything like that, provide more funding for EMS providers.
Indeed. Very important for our area, Howard. And, you know, we're fortunate that when we call 911, somebody responds. I think there are some places in the state where that doesn't happen.
Yeah. And, you know, and again, you know, we take it for granted. You know, we just assume that when, you know, we call 911, somebody is going to show up. And, you know, in our rural areas, especially during the daytime, when people are at jobs and working and stuff, you know, it's, you know, staffing is a big issue. So, so on a lot of these issues in these three bills really relate to staffing and trying to make it a little bit easier. One of those bills, too, that would provide some financial assistance to people when they take these courses, whether it's funded by the agency, whether it's funded by, you know, local fire EMS unit, or whether the person takes it themselves, will provide some funding for that too. So, and then the other thing I guess I did want to mention was the hours and the scope of service and all that. And it's incredibly, in fact, I hear that's one of the things I hear about from rural EMS people. And I heard it on Saturday night in Muscadet. You know, what's going on with the hours, Howard, and still. So, and what ends up happening is the state Department of Health Services increases the training hours by 40 hours, okay? And the more hours they add to training for our volunteers, the fewer people we get. So in this bill, it would require the EMS board to send a report to the legislature on what is your rationale for increasing these hours? Because right now it tends to be kind of they're pointing at each other. Well, the national scope of service says this, or the state scope of practice says this. We want to know what is driving this, because again, I can go to any of my rural areas and and if the hours increase is appropriate, no problem. But I think some often these increases in the hours of training are more oriented towards the Madisons, the Janesvilles, the Milwaukees, which may be wonderful there, but it doesn't affect or it doesn't really has an adverse effect on places like Lake Muscadet and Blue River and our rural areas. So we need to be sensitive. They need to be sensitive to that. And right now, nobody is really they're not telling anybody really what's the rationale for these increases in hours of training.
Nurses too. We're very thankful to have the nurses that we do too.
Absolutely. So over the last 13 years.
Representative Tony Kurtz, Senator Howard Markline. All right. Sounds good.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henry.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. President Trump on Capitol Hill this morning will try to get Republicans to pass a multi-trillion dollar budget package that some in his own party say spends too much money. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson.
This is a big week for his agenda, for all of us. We've been working on reconciliation for more than a year, as you all know, and it all comes down to these final details.
In the bill, there are cuts to Medicaid, food stamps, and green energy programs. Going higher, the average rate for a 30-year fixed mortgage, now over 7%, says ABC News chief business correspondent Rebecca Jarvis.
That surge follows last week's downgrade of the U.S. credit outlook by Moody's, causing investors to look for safer investments.
On top of tornado cleanup in many states overnight and last weekend, more than 30 million Americans are under new weather alerts. A fourth of 10 New Orleans jail escapees has been captured. Investigators believe that they had help. This is a